What I love about Victory is that from the very first service, people who couldn't stand going to church, when they came one time, said Mark's over here pointing at him, became people who could not wait to get back. How many this morning love coming to church? Amen. It ought to be alive when you go to the house of God. You finish my sentence. And I love hearing this. I never get tired of it. It just feels like
home.
It feels like home. We hear it all the time. How many of you can say, I have personally grown since coming and connecting with the Lord and other people at Victory Church? Just raise your hand today. Would you give God praise that He has done that in your life? All credit goes to Him. There is only one in the spotlight and limelight here today, and it is not a man. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Savior of man. Can you say amen? Amen. So all of us acknowledge this is home and we've grown. So this month I want to kick off a new series called Homegrown. Look at your neighbor and tell them homegrown. There's something about homegrown that is completely different than store-bought. There's something different about homemade that is totally different than store-bought. There is something completely different about home cooked, can I get an amen, than there is about something you get in the drive-thru window of a McDonald's. Don't get under condemnation if you work at McDonald's. We thank you for your convenience, but it's just not the same as what mama can make at home. There's something different about it, and that difference is you can taste the what? You can taste the love. You can taste the difference. You can taste the quality. I believe in God's house. That's the way it ought to be with us. God's growing us up in His house to be something that the world can see and that nobody can take credit for but Him, that we live a life that is to His glory and to His honor. Now, when you're born again and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the natural result of that should be that we begin growing. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks that He is the vine and we are the branches and we're to abide in Him, and that those who do, He makes fruitful. And He doesn't just make them fruitful, but He prunes them so they can bear more fruit, and He gets us to a place where we can bear much fruit. So there's fruit, more fruit, much fruit. We see in the parable of the sower that those of us, Brittany, who are good soil, there's a 30, 60, and 100-fold return. We see a progression of growth there. We see in the life of the Israelites that when they were living in bondage in Egypt, they had not enough, but He moved them into the wilderness, into freedom, and to just enough. And then He took them into the promised land where He's taken you today in His promises and in His inheritance in Christ. And there's more than enough. So we see a progression there even in the life of the believer and for each and every one of us. And so born again, even that terminology indicates that there's a new beginning, and that from there, just like a baby is born and begins to grow and transform day by day, and we celebrate the growth, we celebrate the milestones, we celebrate the little words that they say, that's supposed to be happening in us and among each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible declares, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you are in Christ this morning? If anybody is in Jesus, he's a new creation. He's a new person. He's a brand new person from the inside out. Old things have passed away. Thank God that your past is gone. But behold, all things have become new. Just like a baby as it comes into the world in its innocence, it's fresh and clean, a clean slate, a chance to grow, an opportunity packed with potential, awaiting to see what God has deposited in us. That's exactly what happens when you are born again and you call on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, after that, some things begin to take place that are a little bit different than growing physically. And so today I want to very simply ask you the question, are you growing old or are you growing up? I hear a lot of laughter in the room. I assume it's because you understand there is a difference. Are you growing old or are you growing up? If you have a Bible, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. As you do, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege of coming before you and hearing your word today. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would make lodging place for this word in our hearts. We pray that you would transform our lives. We thank you that your word is alive and it is active, it is anointed, it is able to set us free as we know your truth today. I pray that hearts would come alive. God, I pray that through this message and through this month, I pray that we would not just be stirred emotionally, not just intellectually. I pray, God, for a prick in our hearts that would turn us every which way but loose, and we would not be satisfied with anything short of growth in you, in knowing you, in applying what we know and living what we learn day by day as we walk closer and closer in fellowship and relationship with you and with those around us. Most of all today, we pray for any person in this room that feels far from you, that is not walking with you, that doesn't know the joys of having a relationship and a born-again spirit, that today before they leave, Lord, that they would call on your name, that your goodness would bring them to a change in their life. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people praised him on credit and said, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. I'm going to read it from the New Living today. And it says this. It says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. How's that for a howdy-do? How'd you like that if I got up in the pulpit this morning and said, y'all knuckleheads are thick-skulled and don't listen? Well, that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He says, let's read it again. There is much more we want to talk about, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you're dull. You're not the brightest bulb in the box. You don't seem to listen. Therein lies the problem. Verse 12. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. God expects us to grow up so we can take care of others and impart to them the things we've learned. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. The difference there is the way you handle those two things. Verse 13, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Verse 14, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So we see then that there is a gap between where they were and where they should have been by this time. There is a growth that should have taken place, but that has not taken place between the time they accepted Christ and the time this letter is written to them. They were showing up, but they were not growing up. And it's not so different today in many of our lives. And they fell to some deceptions that many of us do too when it comes to spiritual maturity. One of those is very simply this, that time guarantees spiritual growth. And unlike a baby, when it's born, it grows naturally, automatically with the passing of time day by day. Spiritually, growth comes different. It comes very intentionally. Just because we're older doesn't mean we're more mature in the Lord. Or just because we've been saved X amount of time doesn't necessarily bring us to a place of maturity. Time does not produce growth. The other one is attendance. They thought that because they were there, it automatically assured growth. Now, how many of you know there's plenty of churches in America where the pews are full of people, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're growing. If you just show up on Sundays and Wednesdays, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're becoming mature in the Lord. I thank God that that's not going on at Victory. Can you say amen today? The other one is appearance. They assume that appearance automatically indicates growth, that because you wear a Jesus pin on your shirt and have a Christian bumper sticker and wear your Christian t-shirts, you do all the right things on the outside, that meant you were spiritually mature. Yet, however, Jesus came and made clear by talking to the religious leaders of his day that just because you do the right things doesn't make you right on the inside. Then there's trials. Many times we assume that trials and hardship automatically make you spiritually mature. And although it can do that, we're to count it all joy, and God's working in our lives. Certainly, sometimes trials make people bitter more than it makes them better. Another area that many times we falsely assume produces maturity in our life is knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Knowledge. The knowledge automatically equals spiritual growth. Well, there's plenty of people who can talk it, but don't have a clue how to walk it. Maybe you've met some people like that. And so knowledge isn't necessarily spiritual growth. Well, then there's the deception that says, well, if a person operates in a spiritual gift, then they must be spiritually mature. And the reality is, spiritual gifts come just as that, a gift of God's grace to us, regardless of where we're at in our maturity level. And our responsibility is then to add integrity, as we talked a few weeks ago, to that, so that we can remain in the calling that God has given us. And so spiritual gifts don't automatically make you spiritually mature, but yet many times we look at people who are elevated because of a gift and we assume there's growth in their life. And then the last one is simply ministry or serving. That ministry automatically guarantees growth spiritually. I love what one man said. He said, in the process of becoming great ministers, many of us have become lousy Christians. And so we can never replace our growth or our relationship with God with serving and doing things for other people. And so again, unlike physical growth that happens automatically, spiritual growth is very intentional. And this morning I want to give you some things that you can do that will guarantee your growth. Are you ready? I know it was 3 degrees when you came in this morning, and I am so happy the house is full anyway. But let me ask you one more time, are you ready? Okay, there we go. Number one, here we go. Growth begins with a plan. Growth begins with a plan. You've got to plan to grow. The only thing that grows without a plan is weeds. Oh, no. You got to grow. If you're going to grow, you got to have a plan. Every farmer, Chris, I was asking about you this morning. Wendy come in with her mom and dad. I'm so glad to see them today. And I said, well, is Chris going to make it? Because of how cold it was this morning. I figured you'd be out there busting ice or something. Manure spreader froze up. But every farmer knows this. They know that they got to have a plan. Every farmer, whether they think about it or not, it might be intuitive by now, they've got to decide what to grow, where to grow, when to grow, and how to grow. And it's the exact same in your walk with the Lord. You need to answer that question. What does God want me to grow? Where does God want me to grow in this season? When do I grow, and how will I grow? So what is your growth plan personally? Because if you don't have one, then we're just going to be kind of shotgunning how we grow in the Lord. We need to become very intentional. For example, what is your reading plan? Do you have a reading plan? It's one of the reasons why we do Renewal Fuel. Because instead of just, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, flipping open your Bible to a scripture, that one looks good. Judas hung himself. No, I don't like that one. Flip over here. Go and do likewise. No, can't have that. There's got to be a better way of reading your Bible. Amen? So we've got to become systematic. What is your reading plan? What is your listening plan? Who are you listening to? Are you making an intentional point of being in God's house every time the word is preached? Are you making a point of putting yourself within listening distance and earshot of people who can speak into your life? And when they do, it causes your baby to leap on the inside. It stirs you up. It's iron sharpening iron. What is your mentoring plan? Whose feet are you sitting at? Who's speaking into your life? Who's calling you out on your weaknesses? Who's speaking to your strengths? And then who are you doing that same thing with? That's one of the greatest ways to have accountability in your life. God has called each of us to not only be disciples, but to make disciples. Which means I'm sitting at somebody's feet and somebody else is sitting at mine. Whether you realize it or not, you don't have to get all goofy and weird about it. It just means, who am I receiving from and who am I imparting to? It's literally that simple. What is your writing plan? You say, Josh, I don't like to read and I don't like to write. Well, that's not going to work real good. We've got to continue growing in the Lord. Y'all know there's a difference between a journal and a diary. There's a big difference there. A journal is where I write the wisdom I collect as I walk the Father's path for my life. It's where I track my growth. It's where I can look back and see where I was. Every good farmer keeps track of those things. They keep track of what they're sowing. They keep track of what they're reaping. They keep track of the investment they've made, and they're checking on the return. It's the same in our lives. We need to be intentional about those things. Number one, you got to have a plan. Growth begins with a plan. Number two, growth is not determined by your environment. Now, this one excites me. Growth is not determined by your environment. In other words, where you are and what's going on in your life right now. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2 says about Jesus, for he shall grow up. Somebody say grow up. Grow up. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. As a root out of dry ground. I love that because it makes no sense. A root shouldn't be growing out of dry ground because it needs water. It needs moisture. It's referring to a plant that is fresh and that is fertile and that is growing up as a tender shoot in a place that is barren and that is a desert. It does not make any sense from the natural, but that's good news for you and me because it means that your circumstances do not have to be perfect in order for you to grow. Don't look at what's happening around you. Focus on what God wants to do in you. People say, well, I can't grow because of where I am. I can't grow because of who I'm with. I can't grow because of what I'm going through. And we've got to choose to grow. We've got to choose to do the things to grow, regardless of the environment we're in. We've got to make a decision that I'm not going to make any more excuses like Joseph at the end of Genesis. He continued growing into the man of God he was called to be. He had to grow into his dream. God gave him a dream as a boy. But for 13 years, he went through hardship. He was sold by his brothers into slavery after they threw him into a pit. Now, y'all know that'd be hard to go through. And when they sold him into slavery and they took him into Egypt, he was sold to a man named Potiphar who took him into his house. And Joseph, in the process of time, he might have started out doing things menial, like cleaning toilets or sweeping floors or whatever it might have been. But as he showed himself faithful and continued to grow inside in excellence and integrity into the man that God had called him to be, he continued to grow into the dream. And Potiphar recognized that, and he elevated that until the point Joseph was in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. And so what happens? He becomes attractive. His platform makes him attractive to Potiphar's wife. She tries sleeping with him. She accuses him of attempted rape. Potiphar has him thrown into prison. Now he's sitting in the prison. He enters there as a regular guy like anybody else. Yet he continues growing. He continues increasing in integrity and excellence until the jailer sees that in him and elevates him again and puts him over everything going on inside the prison. How many of you know it doesn't matter what you're going through or who's coming against you or how much opposition you face, you can grow in any season, in any situation, and in any soil because the incorruptible seed of God's word is inside you, and no matter how much corruption is around you, thank God that it cannot corrupt the seed of his word in our life. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. It shall prosper. It shall grow. It shall thrive. It shall break through in the thing whereunto I send it. Can I tell you today, he has sent it into your heart. Number three, you've got to grow what's important. This is critical. You've got to grow what's important. There are certain things in our life that are more important than others. We've got to decide what's most important. Sometimes we see people spend their life on frivolous things, things that don't matter. Now, I'm not talking about your hobbies. I'm not talking about the things that you do to let your hair down and relax. We all need those things. Sometimes they may not feel like they're the most important, but you got to take care of you. And if it's feeding your soul, then it's critical. But we've got to spend the majority of our life and our time that is limited on things that will count for eternity. Can you say amen? And so that means I got to prioritize and I've got to grow what's important. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the Bible says that Jesus grew. Even Jesus grew. Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, how did he grow in wisdom? He grew the same way you and I do, by spending time right here, by spending time in the Word of God. He grew in wisdom and in stature. So he grew both physically and spiritually and in favor. Somebody say favor. With God and all the people. I genuinely believe if you've got a strong relationship with God, you ought to have a strong relationship with people. Just because you are godly or a man or woman of God doesn't mean that you ought to come across like a bear constantly. People should be attracted to you. People were drawn to Jesus. Amen? Growing old doesn't necessarily mean we're growing wise. There's a difference there. We've got to make that distinction. Jesus grew in wisdom. We need to grow in wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. It is the application of knowledge. It is the ability to take a concept and make application of that concept and then watch that concept bear fruit and begin to produce increase in your life. So we need to grow in wisdom. We also need to grow like Jesus did in influence. Somebody say influence. Influence is the most valuable commodity you have because God has called you not only to follow Him, but to lead other people. And in our lives, there needs to be an ever-increasing circle of influence. That doesn't mean, again, that everybody's going to be following you. However, it does mean that we need to be growing in the influence that comes from building relationship with people around us. The next one is we need to grow spiritually. Making sure that our relationship with God is number one. First and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. In other words, throw everything into your walk with God. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. We've got to grow that relationship. And then the last one there is we need to grow relationally. We need to invest in key relationships. What are the most important relationships in my life? Am I sustaining them? Am I nourishing them? Who do I want to finish my life with? Who do I want by my side at the end of my life? That's very critical that we answer because that determines who to spend the most time and investment with. So number three there, grow what's important. Number four, growth comes from transformation, not from information. Growth comes from transformation, not from information. Now, this is where we get hung up all the time, especially in our generation. The Bible says in Daniel that there would come a time in the end of days when knowledge would be increased and it would run rampant. And that's the life we see today. We see the multiplication of information every single day with things like the internet and the news cycle being so short. However, knowledge and maturity are not the same thing. Just because I know it doesn't mean I've grown into it. And our culture has fallen in love with massive amounts of information. So we're always, even as Christians, looking for something new. We want something else. It's one of my biggest concerns as your pastor is that are you really taking time to digest what you're hearing every week? That's what I love about the app. That's what I love about the CDs. That's why we give you sermon notes that have the scriptures on it so that you can take time to really absorb and begin to live what you've learned. Because I genuinely believe the greatest problem in the American church is that we're overexposed. We're like bloated sheep. We've eaten too much and we've acted too little. We're educated beyond our own obedience. But we cannot be that way. We've got to be a people who are living what we learn, not just trying to collect a piece of information. Can you say amen today? James chapter 1 verse 22 says it like this. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, you can't talk your way into heaven. Let me try it on this side. You can't talk your way into heaven, but you can walk your way into heaven. I'd rather know five things and live it every day of my life and focus on it than to know the book and be able to quote it from cover to cover and it never be seen in anything I do, say, or think. We've got to be a people who's living what we learn. That's where transformation takes place. Being well-informed doesn't mean you're being transformed. There are plenty of ministers and preachers and pastors who backslide because they only study to have a sermon. They don't study to live it out. I'm anointed to tell it, but just like you, I got to find a way to put it in boot leather every single day. And if that gap increases, then we're in trouble and I become a hypocrite. I've got to learn how to live what we've learned. Can you say amen today? Knowing truth and living truth are two separate matters. Maturity is more than knowing what to do. Maturity is actually disciplining ourselves to do that thing. I love what Jesus said in Luke 11, 28. He said, but even more blessed, more blessed, more blessed. How many of you want a greater blessing? All three of you. You're about to get it. But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God. Who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And so we see a process. We hear the word of God. It increases the faith in our heart. We want to do something about it. So information must then become application, and application leads to transformation. I receive a piece of knowledge I didn't have. I find a way to put it into practice in my life when I leave church and I wake up Monday morning. Actually, when I leave church and I'm in the parking lot and I'm frustrated that somebody's about to back into my car and I've got a choice right then to shout praise the Lord or wave them the finger. Information has to become application. Knowledge applied, that's wisdom. And in the process of applying it to my life, I'm transformed. It's in the middle there as I begin to live what I learn day by day, step by step, one act of obedience after another. It's there in the middle as I apply it to my life that I actually get to know God. As I walk with Him, there is a knowing in the going. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path straight. In all your ways know Him. Look to God and follow the voice of the Lord in those situations. Can you say amen today? And so what happens, church, is when we keep growing, we remain current. When we keep growing, we remain fresh. When we keep growing, we extend our shelf life, Lindley. Milk, how many of you got milk in the refrigerator home? It's got a little black stamp on it. What do we call that? Expiration date. In other words, it's only good for so long. If you want to keep yourself from expiring, if you don't want to outlive your shelf life, if you don't want to only be good for so long until you feel like you're going to get thrown out, then we've got to keep growing, because growth is what keeps me fresh. We don't get stuck in a rut. We don't keep doing things the same way we did them 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Well, bless God, we do it that way because it's the way we always did it. Right? There was a lot of ritual that had been entrenched by the time Jesus showed up. Companies that grow are companies that have the ability to stay current and stay relevant and stay fresh. Growing old, I want you to hear me if you're over 60 today. Growing old does not mean you have to grow obsolete. Let me say this again. Growing old does not make you unnecessary. A lack of growing up does. But not growing old. Not how much hair is on your head. Marsha walks up behind it and kisses it. I had somebody in the balcony tell me, "We don't know what you're doing different with your hair, but we appreciate it because there's not a glare anymore." Growing old doesn't mean you have to grow obsolete. Growth is what keeps me current. I'm not talking about fads either. I'm talking about current in your walk with God. I'm talking about a testimony that's up to date. I'm glad that you were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit 28 years ago. But what is Jesus doing in your life today? How is the cross impacting your life today? How is walking in the power and presence and promises of God making a difference in your life today? Then it's not 20 years old. It's not 10 years old. It's not 5 years old. It's not 3 years old. It's daily. The reality is, I am not today who I was 10 years ago. Why? Because I've grown. We learn day by day. And every time I spend time with Him, I'm learning something new. I know more now than I did back then. I'm walking in more light today than I had back then. And as I daily live what we learn, I am actually taking the Word of God and wrapping it in flesh like Jesus did. And the Word is coming alive in me. It's animated through me. And other people around me have a front row seat to see and watch and hear the change and transformation taking place on the inside of me. This is how we take timeless truths, church, and make them brand new for another generation to walk in. All of a sudden, I'm not living life on the cutting edge. I'm not just trendy. I'm the trendsetter. Hallelujah. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Be a greater person today than you were yesterday. Number five, grow even when it seems like it doesn't matter. Is this helping anybody today? Amen. Grow even when it seems like it doesn't matter. There are times in life when it feels like it just doesn't matter. Some of you are there right now. The Apostle Paul is at the end of his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. He's speaking to his young protege and son in the Lord, Timothy. And he says, when you come to me, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Also, bring my books, and especially my papers. You've got to understand that just 6 verses earlier, this is the man who said the scripture most of you know and many have quoted. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the what? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul is about to die. His life is fast approaching the end. And yet he still wants his books. He still wants his parchment papers. He can't stop learning. He can't stop growing. It's who he is. You've heard the saying that an old dog can't learn new tricks. But the fastest way to become an old dog is to stop learning new tricks. There are times when we feel like if I keep growing, it just doesn't matter. Have you ever been there? There are times we feel like if I keep growing, it doesn't make a difference. His example was a motivation because he knew that other people were watching him. That for the next 2,000 years, people would emulate the model he set. So he made a decision not to do what was convenient for him, but to do what was beneficial for those who would come after him. He knew that he had to run through the tape. Runners at the end of their race have a burst that is equal or greater to anything they've exerted during the race. You'll see them as they take that last step. They'll blow that chest out. They'll duck their head forward. They run through the tape. They don't stop before it. Each of us has a race that God has marked out for us to run. And God is calling you to run through the tape. Why? Because you're an example. Why? Because Paul was a leader. Paul was a head. And leaders know that they can never stop growing. Heads know that they can never stop growing. I'm talking to husbands today. You know that you can never stop growing. If you don't like where your family is, or if you don't look like who your wife is today, why don't you look in the mirror? Because where the head goes, the body follows. If you parents, if you don't like what's going on in your children, why don't you look in the mirror? Because where the head goes, the body follows. In the church, if we don't like where we're at, in the kingdom, in the office, whatever it might be, we are leaders, we are over things, and you've got to learn that you've got to keep growing and you've got to keep going. We've got to keep going even when we feel like nobody knows, nobody's going to see, it's not going to help my situation, it's not going to make a difference, it just doesn't matter anymore. Let me tell you today, it matters. It matters to God. Your personal growth is a path for those closest to you to follow in your faith, Prince, so that they will run through the tape and finish strong. They've got to finish their race with a smile on their face. That's the key to victory. Come on, church. I don't want to crawl across the finish line. I want to be standing stronger than I ever have. I want my head to be lifted high. I want my eyes to be bright. I want my ears to know the voice of my King. And I want to come through that finish line with a burst. I mean to tell you, when I meet Jesus on the other side, I want to knock him plumb over because I blow through that line. Your path is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Don't you dare think that because your body's dying, your spirit is. The devil is a liar. Don't you think that because your body's dying, your purpose is. Don't you think that because your body's dying, you're no good anymore. You're the most valuable treasure we have. Grow even when it seems like it doesn't matter anymore, and those times are going to come. Number 6, grow beyond your personal tendencies. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, There is a time when you have to become a man or a woman. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, I cannot cling to childish things and become a man. They go together. When I put childish things away, I become a man. Are you getting that today? You smelling what I'm stepping in? You picking up what I'm putting down? When I became a man, I put away childish things. You can't have it both ways. Growth gives you the power to change our childish tendencies, and we all have them. Growth gives us the power to move beyond the immaturity. If we are serious about growing, then we must step back and look at our life and ask the hard questions. Are there ways of thinking that need to change? Are there behaviors in me that need to change? Are there attitudes in me that need to change? There was a time in life where we did things one way and that was okay. But now the time has come to put away childish things, Victory, and choose a better way of doing life. What are the tendencies in your life that you need to outgrow? How about the tendency to always have the last word? How about the tendency to harbor unforgiveness? How about the tendency to keep score? How about the tendency to become resentful when you see other people who are doing better than you? And the tendency to feel like you're better than people who are doing worse than you? How about your first response? Is it positive or is it negative? Do we push back against the people who are trying to help us? How do you handle it when you don't get your way? Are you offended when your idea doesn't get used? Do you find it difficult to follow instructions or submit to authority? Are you constantly late and unprepared? Are we constantly critical of other people and other things around us? These are the things that I must grow beyond. They are the tendencies in my life that keep pulling me back into immaturity, that are limiting me, and we have to break free from them. We must outgrow them like a shirt that's too small and just doesn't fit anymore. It's no longer comfortable, and I've outgrown that behavior. I'm no longer comfortable with living like that. Growth is what gives you the power to break free from those tendencies, those limitations in your beliefs, those limitations in your doctrine, those limitations in your values and in your thinking and in your emotions and in your self-control. Maturity comes as we outgrow childish tendencies. So we've got to outgrow those things that are holding us back. And last and most importantly today, number 7, we never, ever, ever outgrow the need to grow. You never outgrow the need to grow. Growth is how we stay in step with Christ on this journey He's invited us on called life. Growth is how we stay in sync in our marriage, with our families, on the job, in our community, in the kingdom, in the church. Because if we don't grow and they do, all of a sudden a gap begins to form. And there comes a point when we wake up and realize that there's distance between us because they outgrew us. We outgrow relationships. We outgrow each other. And typically it's the one who didn't grow that says, I can't do this anymore. And all of a sudden there's distance between us and the people we used to be side by side with. Church, growth is how we ensure that our best moments are not behind us, but they're still ahead of us. We've got to keep growing. Growth is how we continue to move from glory to glory and height to height and victory to victory and one of the great things of God to another one of His glories day by day. Growth is how we continue to extend our shelf life. Would you stand with me today? As I sat prayerfully thinking about this message this week, I wrote something, and Chris, if you've got it, I want you to put that up. It says, we're sitting on a powder keg called potential. Everybody say potential. Everybody say potential. It said inside of this mighty army of over 1,000 we call victory is locked away all that we could be but have not yet become. That's why we're desperate to unlock it. The personal possibility each of us carries. Then there's our corporate potential, not just your personal, but all of us together. The collective possibility of what we can accomplish together. Our world is filled with so many more people who are not living, they're enduring, they're existing, they're suffering and they're suffocating, and they are in desperate need of a breakthrough and a reinvention, a rebirth. People who need what God is offering in this place. For them, we must be all He created us to become. Right here, tucked away off a side road in Troy Township, sits a pole barn in a hayfield where God is transforming ordinary people who are changing the world for Jesus Christ. Let's pray that potential, His potential in us, be discovered, be developed, be deployed for His glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, that's our prayer today. With every hand raised in this room, I want you to lift your hands as a sign of surrender toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge today that You have deposited greater things and greater works in each of us, even that You accomplished, Jesus. And we ask right now that the Holy Spirit begin to highlight and develop those things in our lives. Father, I pray for personal discipline. I pray for self-control. I pray, God, that we would take what we learn and we would live it. We would apply it. We would be intentional about it. I pray for something, God, to change on a spirit level today, that we would live a life that is worthy of the sacrifice You made. And Father, that You would take us with arms lifted high as we surrender, and that You would transform us into the mighty men and women You've called us to be, and that most of all we would know You, and out of that relationship that the world around us, beginning at our kitchen tables, God, would know You too. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. We pray with every head bowed and every eye closed. There's someone here today and you don't know God. You don't have a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, you feel far from Him. But friend, He's as close as the whisper of His name. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Being a good person doesn't make you saved. Becoming born again is as simple as A, admitting you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody is any better than the next. We've all sinned. Whether you committed one sin or a million this week, it doesn't matter. We were all lost in that sin and needed a Savior. That's why Jesus left heaven and came to earth. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He lived a sinless life so that He could die in your place for your crimes as a sacrifice on the cross. And there He paid the price and died your death so that you could live His life. And so B is believing in your heart that He died and God raised Him from the dead. A, B, and C. C is confess. Confess Him as Lord of your life, which means you open your mouth and you just call out to Jesus. You say, Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. I surrender to You. I'm tired of doing life on my own. I've made a mess. God, take my mess and make a masterpiece. I'm about to count to three. And if that's you, or if you did that at one time, but you feel far from God, you've got things in your life you need to get under the blood, friend, you come home today. I'm about to count to three. And when I do, I want you to shoot your hand up. Josh, that's me. Pray with me today. One, two, three. Josh, today, thank You for that honesty. Thank You for Your honesty. Thank You for Your honesty. Is there someone else? Thank You, brother, right here. Is there another one? Thank You, ma'am, for Your honesty. Is there another one here today? Just raise your hand where I can see. I want to know who I'm praying with. Is there another one in this place today? Thank You for Your honesty, my friend. Come on, church, let's celebrate right now. We're so proud of you. Raise your hand real high where I can see.